is void and emptiness. Shine your light on my darkness. Satisfy and restore my soul. I long for you to make me whole. Come quench this thirsting. Lord, I am ready. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. You are the only one who can fill me. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. Come fill my heart. Come fill.
This thirsting, Lord, I am ready. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. You are the only one who can fill me. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. Come fill my heart. This thirsting, Lord, I am ready. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. You are the only one who can fill me. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. Come fill my heart.
Let's all stand. Let's go ahead and change over the service. Brother Wade, come on out.
Amen.
As we sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, Holy, Holy.
You are
Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, Holy, Holy. I want to see.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Not be worshiping the devil, but worship God in spirit and truth. Good to see everybody here tonight. Glad to have our visitor with us. She's with Janine, and as Dad always says, just make yourself at home, and you're a visitor tonight, but if you come back, you won't be a visitor. Don't be scared. My brother's just he's just fooling with you. We won't pick on you too much the next time you come. It's good to have her with us tonight, and just make yourself at home. And we're here to worship the Lord. We're not here to be seen. We're not here to be somebody. We're here to be part of a body, not the body, but part of a body of Christ. And we're just trying our best. We're doing the best we can with what we got. So by way of announcement, remember this coming Sunday, it will be communion and foot washing and another baptismal service. Will be this Sunday after the second service, after communion and foot washing. Wednesday, Brother Bob will be speaking for us a week from today. June the 18th will be our fishing trip for the young men and old men and any of the men that wants to come at the pond at Terrence's place over in Banks County. We'll get the address. Does he have a physical address? 525 Caldwell Road, but we will have Brother Joe put that up on the internet so that you'll know where to go. It'll be an all day about 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll fish as long as you want to. We'll have hamburgers and hot dogs, plenty of drinks, and we'll have some tents so it won't be so bad hot, and we'll have a good time in the Lord. Also remember that next day will be June the 19th. That will be Brother Daniel Perry will be with us. He'll be with us that Saturday to fish with us, but he will be here that Sunday to speak for us, young minister just getting started. So we thought we would give him an opportunity to exercise his gift. Amen. If you don't use it, it gets dull. You need to use your gift that God gives you. Also, on July the 2nd, I want to announce now there'll be no Bible study on July the 2nd because July the 3rd, we will have our 51st annual meeting, anniversary meeting. Brother Chris Long will be with us that Sunday. We will have two services and a meal after the second service. And then we'll get with you and let you know what you need to bring as far as meats and vegetables and all that. So just keep that in your prayers. Brother Chris will be here, and I think Sister Joanna's coming with him. So just keep that in your prayers. Also remember, July, all of you that are going to Ohio, July the 21st is when we're leaving, which is Thursday night at 10 o'clock leaving. So be here at 9 o'clock. We're leaving from this parking lot right here. We got a charter bus that's, I talked to the guy today, and he's finalizing everything and getting ready to go. And we'll be leaving at 10 o'clock on Thursday evening. And then we will be getting into Lorain, Ohio at about 1 to 1:30 Friday afternoon. And then I'll give you all the itinerary we're going to have. There will be no time. I want you to understand there'll be no time for sightseeing this trip. Okay. Last time I was up there, we went to the Amish country. We had a good time, but there's not going to be time to do that. We're going to have service on Saturday, all day Saturday. We're going to have service on Sunday and then turn around and come back home on Monday. So this will be for the youth and for the brothers and sisters in Ohio to support them up there with taking about all the youth that we got is going with us. So we praise the Lord for that. I think there's 47 or 48 of us going. So we thank you that you can go. Thank Brother Dale. Next time you see him, thank him for paying for your way up there in a big old trailway bus. Amen. And then for the motel while you're up there. But we have to remember, and you supply your own food to get up there and to get back home. All right. So just remember that. I'll get an itinerary started, and then I'll let you know. I know you're not going to remember any of this because you hardly ever do. So if you write it down, it might work. Bob, you're preaching next Wednesday night. You got that? Okay, see what I mean? Who's preaching tonight? I want to read you this little quote, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God. The prophet of God and the world falling apart. Is this world not falling apart? They're saying now that a dozen eggs will be $12 a dozen by August. Talk about inflation. This is what happened in 1929 and 30 when the market crashed. They were selling flour at that time for $10 and $15 for a pound of flour. Pound of flour, just a little pound of flour to make stuff with. So you, we need the Lord not to get us out of this. We need the Lord to get us out of this world. And man, I don't want to dodge the bullets. I want to be gone. I want to get out of here. And I think that's what we're trying to do. This last push, we've had almost 20 people baptized. And I told Brother Boyd standing in the back, I said, all those that are baptized, I hope they either will fill with the Holy Ghost and get more, or they're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost and we'll have a good time. Amen? Because that's what we're going to try to talk on. We're going to get to the baptism of the Holy Ghost this afternoon or this evening. So Brother Ram says, given a prophet, this is World Falling Apart, 1963. They were given a prophet, and what'd they do? Each time they stoned them because they didn't agree with their system and put them to death. Jesus said, you garnish the walls of the prophets and the tombs, and your fathers is the one to put them in there. And you testify that's your children, see? They do it. It's just too bad. But that's the world. See, it's always God sends his word and wisdom tries to, in other words, verse the word. That's the way it was at the beginning. The very thing started, the whole system of sin was because somebody, Eve, Satan, produced a better plan than God's. See, we think we got a worldly plan to make it through this thing. Nope, sorry. Satan produced a better plan than God's. He produced wisdom. They ate from the tree of knowledge. Wisdom always takes you away from God. Faith brings you back to God. You don't know God by your great wisdom. It's no good. It's of the world. It's foolishness to God. But it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching his word to save the lost. So God always uses somebody foolish and simple. So here he is today. Foolish and simple. That's me. And you come to hear the word of God? You didn't come to hear me. You come to hear the word of God. So let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity that we have to stand before the greatest group of people that ever came on the face of this earth. The people that the Bible was written about. Lord, we know that many prophets and seers and different ones down through the ages were looking for a group of people like this, Lord, that was going to bind the acts of Satan right here in his Eden. And Lord, I pray that you will identify us. We are the bride, Lord. I pray that you'll identify us by signs and wonders and giving people the Holy Ghost and by the many things that we need, Lord, manifestation of the sons of God. Father, we pray that you just be with each one, Lord. Bless the ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us. Be with Sister Yveen. She came through the operation. They're okay. That we hear, Father, and that she'll be fine and get to come home. And Sister Anna Dale's mother, Lord, we pray that you would comfort her, Lord, and save her soul. Just save her soul, Lord. And I pray that you just be with each one that needs healing, Lord, that needs salvation, that needs the filling of the Holy Ghost, that needs a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Father, today we open ourselves up, Lord, and ask you to come inside, Father, and do the speaking for us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had Toby laying in my lap yesterday. He'd already died. And I told him, I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Toby, that I can't speak your life back into you. I'm sorry I'm such a sorry person that I haven't been able to manifest what the Bible tells us to manifest. But don't you worry, little kid. I'll see you again. We'll be with the ones that we love. But have you ever done that before? Have you ever come to a situation and said, I'm supposed to be able to handle this. What about a prophet with a possum? That's what I'm looking for. You say, well, that's for the prophet of God. Well, there's the door. You need to go find you one. It's a manifestation of these sons and daughters of God. Us that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that maybe our lives are not always the way it's supposed to be. We're not living exactly the sharpness that we should be living to, where we can look down at an animal and say, life, come back into that animal. That burdens my heart, not for just little Toby. We'll see him again. I mean, he's in a better place. But us on this side, is the ones I'm worried about. I'm worried about the ones on this side, that we can come to that situation and be able to speak, and that life, breath of life goes right back into that dog. We've seen it with humans. We've seen it with different ones. We've seen it with animals. But, Lord, I want it to see where, like Brother Brown says, like it's popping popcorn, to where every time we speak, something happens. Amen? So let's read this. Who is this Son of Man? This is part number 41. John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You may be seated. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. Now, we've been talking about, just to back up a little bit for our visitor some, we were talking about, this has been a 41 or 42 sermons on the life of a man called Jesus Christ. But now, not only the life of Jesus Christ back in history, but the life of Jesus Christ in a group of people today. Amen. Amen? And when we come to this place that we look in Scripture and we see ourselves and we see the time that we're living in, we see that God has given us provision to make it to this time. He has given us, what, a predestinated plan. As we see there, predestinated to adoption, according to the book of Ephesians, we are predestinated in this end time to adoption. So adoption is placing. Adoption is not just getting the Holy Ghost. Adoption is, like I was talking about, just it's God moving and God acting in everything that you do and everything that you see and all. And it's not, look, it's not a flowery bed of ease. It's not going to be that you're going to lay out on a cloud and your bills are going to quit coming due and, you know, your neighbor's going to instantly start liking you. And, you know, it's not going to happen that way. We know that. But it does make things a lot better if we do have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have these virtues working in our life. As I said before, the prophet of God tells us that it becomes a stumbling block if we are Christians and then we have these little rough edges that we that people see that we have to deal with, the little rough edges. And that's what I want to, next Sunday we'll deal on, or this coming Sunday we'll deal with those rough edges, because that's what faith, that's what knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, all that is knocking off the rough edges. Because remember, you get everything you need when you get the Holy Ghost. But you got everything in your being when you were born to be a mother, to be a father, to be a car driver, to be somebody that can fill out a checkbook. But you're not going to do that until you reach what? The age of accountability, or the age where you mature enough to where you'll be able to make a what? A sound decision on all these matters. Same way with the Word of God. He's not going to give it. We've been reading and reading and reading where Paul gets, tells, "I've been feeding you milk. I've been feeding you milk. I've been feeding you milk. I'm trying to feed you strong meat." But I'm telling you what, strong meat's what's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you grow. Milk's going to be okay, but you can't keep a baby on milk all the time. Amen? So you got to grow up in God. And we were looking now at the three stages of adoption. The first stage is obviously, you got to start with the birth. You got to start where you get into the body of Christ. You got to get into this family of God, because these virtues are not human virtues. They're not virtues that humanly you're going to be able to just completely. Because remember, virtue, if you look up the word virtue in an encyclopedia, it means being virtuous or being a virgin. All right? Well, you can be a virgin and die and go to hell in your physical being. Amen? So that really has nothing to do. It is according to God's word, you need to be one before you get married. But it's not a requirement for salvation. It's a requirement that you be virgin up here. Everybody with me? I'm going to try to just do it a little bit slow. I was going to speed through this, but I feel like I need to drop it back just a minute. Because the first stage is the birth. Now, what is a natural birth? It's water, blood, and life. Everybody with me? All right, it's water. It's got to come. The water's got to break. The blood's got to come. And then smack the baby on the rear end, and the baby cries. That's when that baby's soul enters its body. Is everybody with me? All right, now we know that by the prophet of God, and we know that, and I'm not going to argue when conception and life and all these other Roe versus Wade, I take what the prophet of God said. Prophet of God said, you're wiggling muscles until you come forth and God breathes the breath of life inside of you. So, okay. So, all right. You're just wiggling muscles and you're getting ready to be birthed, but you know what? You're not birthed yet.
Right.
We're not birthed yet if you're in justification and sanctification. You hadn't been born again yet.
Right.
You're still what? Yeah, you had a first birth. I can see that. I'm looking at it right here. I see your first birth.
Right.
And it was wrong. It's killing you. Remember the scripture tells us that we're supposed to, what do? We are joyous and happy and have all kind of a big party for the birth of a baby. The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us we're supposed to cry when a baby's born and rejoice when a saint goes to heaven. We get it totally reversed. We cry like a baby when somebody goes to heaven and we just, this little baby, it's born dead. Time goes on long enough, that baby will die. So we're born with death inside of us, natural death. And if we're not born again by the Spirit of God, it's a spiritual death. And to me, that's worse than a natural death.
Amen.
Bible says, don't fear the one that can kill your body. You better fear the one that can kill your soul. And the only one that can kill your soul is the one that gave you the soul.
Amen.
But in between that point and that point, there's got to be a change. There's got to be a change. There's got to be a place to where we become sons and daughters of God and we start changing our attitude. And we got to quit the things that we did before, because the things that we did before, what did that get us? That got us death. That's what we're looking at now. This is what got us death, our first birth. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, said, ye must be what? Born again.
Right.
Not born from your mother again, born from heaven. And Christ has got to come down, and we'll read that in just a minute. Let's hurry through this pretty quick right here at this point, and then I'll stop and slow down. Romans 8, verse 14 says, for many as are led by the Spirit of God. I want you to look at these words, led, power, and all these things that the Holy Ghost is going to give, supposed to give us when we get born again. Everybody with me on that? And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many were led by the spirit of the devil before they were led by the Spirit? Well, everyone of you, raise your hand. Everybody, raise your hand, because you're going to testify you were a son and daughter of the devil before you became a son and daughter of God. You were not born a son of God. Now, in the mind of God, yes, but not right here. You've got to make a choice. You've got to come to a place to where you got to what? You got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's what I hope we've come to. That's why I always pray for my kids and your kids. Anybody that's kind of wavering on the fence, I say, Lord, stir their water. Don't let them sleep. Let them have the most restless night. And I mean that. I want to see that person in about 3 days, about half asleep. I said, what's wrong? They said, we can't go to sleep. I said, praise the Lord. Keep them up a few more days. Clean them out, Lord. Clean them out. Keep them up just a little bit longer. And fill them with the Holy Ghost, because we need some Holy Ghost-filled people is what we need. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, not going to be, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the Spirit. Now, look at all this Spirit. Spirit, you don't receive the spirit of bondage, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry as a baby, Father, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now remember, we got to look back, and we'll see in a minute that Ezekiel and the different ones tell us that you get a new spirit, and then he puts his spirit in. All right, so we're talking about a spiritual thing. This is not a natural happening today. This is the spiritual happening. The only way I know that you've got the Holy Ghost, or you know that I've got the Holy Ghost, is what we manifest on the outside. It's not that we get this tattoo or this 666 that we're going to have the mark of the beast over here and it's going to have a big number in the forehead. And no, come on, people. Good grief. We know that. It's in your forehead, not on your forehead. What is inside your forehead? Intelligence. Your intelligence is inside your head. And that's where the devil is going to play. That's his playground. That we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Wow. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we got to start with justification. We were talking about last Sunday. But what saith we, the word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That's why no baptizing in titles. How can you baptize in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and be excuse me, and be identified with somebody? There is each one of us come from a family of whatever your life's name is. And you're identified with that. Okay, we're everyone human beings, right? We're everyone spiritual beings, too. We're everyone, most of us are fathers. Most of us are mothers and sons, and we got all these different titles. But look, there's, 60 people sitting in here right now. Who am I talking to? Oh, you're talking to everybody. No, I need one specific person. So what do? I call you by name. Ruth McFerrin, because she just walked in the door. Ruth McFerrin. Well, then, now, John Durant didn't jump up and go, "That's me." Right? You're identified by your name. That's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is identifying who we are and what we're heading toward. We're going into the family of God, so we need that name. When you're born, what name do you get? The name of your family. You get a family name, all right? Not just human. Everybody's human. But one specific person, you got a name. And there's only one name that whereby we can be saved and whereby we need to be baptized, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When we come to this place of justification, we've got to come to a place, thinking back on my life, you look at your life, there's no way you can justify yourself. There's no way you can clean yourself up. God's the only one who can clean you up. But if you're so sorrowful where you come to a place and say, "God, I don't want to do that anymore." See, that's why people say the do's and don'ts part is, "Well, I got the Holy Ghost because I quit." That don't have nothing to do with it. I wanted you to get that out of your mind. It's not do's and don'ts, it's the Holy Ghost. Now, justification, you won't do what you used to do, but you still got that unclean spirit in you, and you can do. If you continue to yield yourself, you can do and will do, because there's nothing there to stop you yet. But listen, folks, but if justification is a part of the new birth, it is a part of the new birth, and God knows whether you're going to make it, you don't, but if you persevere, those who he has justified, he's already glorified. So in the mind of God, but you got to start at justification. You got to start going to the water, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Repent. Say, "God, I'm sorry. Sorry for what I did. And I'm going today, I'm going to, as many as Sister Ruth did and Sister Regina, different ones, says, this is my stake. This is what I'm putting down right here. No more. Devil, no more. Right here is where I'm putting this stake down. When I go into this water, I'm going to die. When I come out, I'm going to come in newness of life. And God, I want you to fill me with the Holy Ghost. If I already got it, fill me some more. Amen. Fill my cup, Lord. Amen. Let it run over." That's what we got to look for, folks. We can't look for a trickle. Amen. I don't want a trickle, Holy Ghost. Amen. I want a river. Amen. I want a Niagara Falls. Amen. I was thinking the other day, I thought, "Lord, here I am out here with this watering can, and I'm just, y'all saw my garden if you looked at WhatsApp or on Marco Polo, it's bigger than this room, and I'm out there going, and it's drying up about as quick as I go back over here. I said, "Lord, just in about 5 minutes, you can water this whole garden and give it everything it needs." And I'm out here for 2 hours, squirting a little water here and squirting a little, and that little plant's going, "I need some more." That's the kind of God we serve. See, that's why you say, "Well, I don't know if I don't want to bother him." No, bother him. Knock on his door. Say, "God, I need," and we did. We cried for rain a few weeks ago and got plenty of rain. We cried for rain and got rain again. So thank God for the rain. And my little corn plants, they got their little things up just like this right here. They were like this. That's how we are as Christians. When we don't get water, when we don't come to church, when we don't read our Bible, guess what? We become malnourished. But boy, when that rain comes, you know what it does? It turns those leaves up. And you know what it does when it turns the leaves up? That's a funnel that funnels it right down to the stalk. And then it runs right down into the, what a mighty God we serve. Funnels it right down to the roots, to where it needs it. It needs it in the roots. And the root system. And that's what me and you, I'm trying to get us to where we're rooted and grounded and settled, to where we won't be shaken, because you know what? War's coming. I ain't talking about war, physical war. I'm talking about a spiritual war. War's coming. Satan does not want us to get anywhere, so he is going to what? Oppose everything we're doing. But he cannot win. Because we've read the playbook, and we've already won the battle. He just don't know that. So being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. We cannot get forgiven for sins that we're going to do because we don't know what we've done or what we're going to do. We do know what we've done. You know today the things you've done that were wrong. You didn't know them this morning. How things change. We didn't know yesterday morning that we was going to lose Toby, but we did. And that's okay. But now in God, you're supposed to get up and you say, God, whatever you got coming for me, put the shield up. But if I miss something, then when we get to that spot, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. How can you ask for forgiveness for something you ain't done yet? But there's righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. And what does he do? He is just and the justifier, as we were reading there. To what? Forgive you of that. Even now when we're up on the top side of the mountain, as the song says, we're looking up on that side of the mountain, even with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we still have to say, God, forgive me. And he is just to forgive us for the things that we're doing. Amen? We just don't need to keep doing over and over and over again. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, not mine. You can't get good enough to get saved. You really need to get bad enough. And realize you're bad. That's what I come to. I realized I was bad and I needed salvation because I didn't like going in the direction I was going in. But I didn't have that spiritual rudder to tell me and keep me what? From the winds of war, my war. Kids, your war. We all have a war. Pray for the Holy Ghost to give you that spiritual rudder to where if the winds start blowing in that direction, but you need to go in that direction, turn that rudder and say, God, I can't do it. Do it. Please do it for me. And then what's he going to do? The big captain on top of the ship, what's he going? He's going, hey, turn the rudder. Well, who's most important, the captain or the guy down there turning the rudder? The guy down there turning the rudder. And that's what the Holy Ghost is given for. It's given to what? To help us. And we'll talk about it just for a second. Just in a second. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law of works? There's no time we should boast about anything except what God's done for us. Amen. Nothing that we do. Therefore we conclude, Paul, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The do's and the don'ts. You say, well, now, Brother Wade, what are you talking about? What about the do's and the don'ts? Well, under sanctification, to me, that's when, like Brother Brown said, you become in a religious order. Your name's put on a book. Your life starts changing. Not at the new birth, but at sanctification, when all that uncleanness starts going out of you. When you say, God, I don't want to smoke anymore. God, I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to curse anymore. I don't want to do this, that, or the other. Whatever you got, your laundry list is the same as mine. It just might have different lists, things listed on it. Because the Bible says when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeketh rest, and findeth none. When he said, I will return to my house. Satan says he's going to return to his house from whence he came out of. He was comfortable. We made devils comfortable. That's why we don't get rid of them. The prophet of God, remember, he drove that spirit out of that woman. And then later on, Brother Brown, that spirit came back on a woman. You know what he said? He said she liked it. So she didn't just want it out. She was opening the door saying, get back in here. I like you. Get back in here. You got to get to where you hate a demon. I mean, you got to get to where you really hate a demon. When you hate a demon, now he's going to hate you, but when you hate a demon, you give him the Word of God. He can't stand the Word of God. He can sit in a church. We can put this oil plus 55-gallon drum, but when you're not ready to get rid of him, he will not leave. But when you're ready to get rid of him, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and you don't want no more of it, you want to change. Now, that's us in the new birth also, folks. We got to come to a place to where daily we're sanctified. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, walks through dry places, seeks rest, finds none. Then he said, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Wow. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. I was mentioning something the other day. When we've watched many times, like I said before, I looked in 2015, 2016, at some of the people that we baptized, and they're no longer here. They're no longer serving the Lord even. They're just right back out in the world. Well, you know what? It wasn't a waste of my time. It wasn't a waste of God's time. I believe it was a waste of their time. Because God was willing to save them. I was willing to baptize them in the right way. They were not willing to continue on with God. Because of the 17 or 18 that we baptized, I'm sorry, law of averages. I hope they all get the Holy Ghost. But I don't know. 2 months from now, well, my cat's got diarrhea. I don't know if I can make it to church tonight or not. Well, my neighbor's tree fell on my garden, and I think I better... See, when you start with excuses, you go right back into the same junk you were in before. Please don't do that. Because you know what? That's the devil doing that. That's the devil putting that in front of you. That's not God. But now God's going to let him tempt you to see whether you're a child of God. Now, not that God will see, but where you'll see whether you're a child of God or not. So please don't. Please persevere. I was thinking about today. Listen, this is a fight. This is a battle. I mean, I'm talking about bloody noses. I'm talking about blood running out your ears. I'm talking about dirt in your face. That's the battle that we're in. And especially in the end time, because Satan has got his hold on the whole world except for me and you. He's already got them, so he's turned his guns all on us. And he's going to what? He's going to fight you in your mind. Because that's his playground. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What is iniquity? It's a hideous sin. It's knowing to do better, and you do it anyway. Or knowing not to do it, or knowing to do it, and you don't do it. But in the great house there are vessels of gold and silver, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You know where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls? Where'd they find them in? They found them in earthen vessels. They found them in clay pots. Where are you going to find the Word of God in the end time? In clay pots. We'll talk about that in a second. Questions and answers on Genesis. Brother Ram said, Judas Iscariot was justified by faith. Now, we've already read this a bunch of times. He was sanctified. He was justified. Power to cast out devils. They healed the sick. And they came back sanctified. Now, sanctified. None of them were filled with the Holy Ghost yet. They just had an anointing. They had that new spirit that Ezekiel's telling us about. They got a new spirit. They didn't get the Spirit of God because Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, so there's no way he could transfer everything he had into them. He just gave them power, temporary power, over those unclean spirits. Amen? Because with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you'll use it right, you don't have temporary power. You have power anytime you need it because the Holy Ghost is power. All right, and Jesus said, don't rejoice because the devil's a subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of heaven. And Judas Iscariot was one of them, called out, sanctified, and his name written in the Lamb's book of life. Read Matthew 10 and see if that's not right. He called each one of them, Judas and every one. So we must be careful and not try to think that sanctification is our new birth. We've been through this for years and years. But please, that's why I said, don't settle down. I got baptized. No, you get baptized, you got to start pushing. You got to start growing. There was something planted that day. You got planted in water. But we come up in newness of life, not death. Yeah, we want everything that you don't want dead. but not you. We want a vessel of honor. I'm glad Jesus didn't throw the clay away, aren't you? A vessel of honor. You're not tossed about by everything. You know where you're standing. There's something happened. You know that you're a real Christian. You know that you've been in contact with somebody that loves you. And that's not filial love. That's not just a little tickly ooh in your heart. That's knowing that God loves you, but he loves you by corrective hands, not by just, I'm going to shower you with everything, hunky-dory, kumbaya, and all that other stuff. No. It's a fight, remember. It's a battle. And you've got to what? Jesus said, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. You got to meet him somewhere. All right? You know that something happened down here and it's refreshing. Not only that, but you'll refresh others. You've seen people that was nice people but just couldn't hardly stand to be around them. Now, he's talking about being a little creator. Now, here's one I want to read real quick. He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now, that spirit isn't God's spirit. So when you come under justification, you've still got that old nature that you're fighting with. You've just come out of the world, and man, it's fresh on your mind, and everything you did is right in front of you. Unless you moved. But most of us give our heart to God, and we're still living in the same place that we were living before as far as natural living, right? So all the things around you, I had all the skull cans, you know, I had all the wild turkey and ginger ale, and I'm just telling you the truth. They were just like ornaments in my house. I guess I'm the only one. Forgive me, but I've been saved from them things. Amen? And you put yours up there and say, I've been saved from that thing. Amen? So I didn't, some people put that stuff up and look at it and say, well, it don't tempt me no more. I got rid of it. Get rid of that stuff. Don't ever tempt God or the devil. You will lose on both points. He'll give you a new spirit. Now, that isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. What's he doing? He's cleaning your spirit up. As Brother Brown said, he said, you know, God, he picks up this dirty container out of the mud, and it's all dirty. And what's the justification? He's justified in picking you up. As we're going to see in just a minute, God's justified when he takes that pound of clay. Still dirty. Still, you're just changing the environment that it was in. Amen? Then you're going to clean it up. But you're not going to drink out of it while it's got the mud still in it. You got to clean it up. You got to give it a new spirit. What? A clean spirit. Where you start going to church, reading your Bible, coming to Bible study. And when you don't do those things, folks, don't fool yourself. You're not born again. Now look, you say, well, you said everything was hard to do. Yeah, it is hard to do. But the overcoming part is when you get here. You've overcome. You've come here. Ask God to change something. I'm asking God to change something now. Me. God gives you a new spirit. Then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down. Or he couldn't even live with you. Wow. So he has to get you fixed up first. Thank God for a fixer-upper. So he can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. You go all kind. Oh, yeah, Brother Wade. I can go back to the bars now. No, you can't. Because that's not where he's going. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God is not going back to the beer joint. Led by the Spirit of God comes church. Get in a circle of friends. Get out of the ones that you were in. You can't do that. You can't, there we go, tempt God. Now you can be a light, and I know we have to live among the people, but you don't have to partake what you did before, because they've got to see something different. You're going to display what's inside of you. I don't care what you do. You're going to manifest what's inside of you. He's got to get you fixed up so you can entertain him right. Tonight we want to entertain the Holy Ghost. But our problem is we got the devil that we're entertaining him too. And he's got the Joker thing on. Because he's going to fool you into thinking that it's God. Wow. I felt good. That was good. But he said something. The preacher said, that was good. I felt good. But he said something I didn't like. And I ain't going to do that. Okay. Disobedience is the first thing you better get over. So that's when you're on the first altar. But when you hide away, you get his spirit. That's what we're going to talk about in a minute. Then the Holy Spirit, none other than God himself, comes and dwells in you. That's what we want. We don't want just my old spirit or another spirit that makes me feel better and do things right. I want God's spirit. That's what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. It's not just the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. Something's got to burn you out. It's kind of like we were talking about last Sunday about baptismo. You start with a cucumber. When you put it in the, or baptize it, or baptizo, dip baptizo, and then baptismo, when it goes into that whatever pickling agent, vinegar, and the pickling salt, it comes out of cucumber. Abby? Where's she at? You just ate one a little bit ago. Well, it smelled good, but you know what? It was once a cucumber. It looked like a cucumber. It acted like a cucumber. It didn't smell like one because it smelled like what? Vinegar. But it became a pickle. And there's no way that pickle can be reversed back to a cucumber, yet it still looks like a cucumber. Praise God! That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. He'll change you, and there's no way you can go back. That's the problem. We get to a certain place, and then we won't go any further with God. We won't. We'll go to that first part where he washes us up and gets the cucumber ready, and you know, and then we stop. We turn the oven off because you got to heat it up. Got to put pressure. A good pickle, tell you, a good pickle is pressurized. Terrence likes pickles. A good pickle, though, has got to go through a pressurized process. You don't just lay it out there and go, well, I'm a pickle now. No, it goes through a process. It's got to be heated up. It's got to be changed from a cucumber to a pickle. But it still looks the same. We're just all a bunch of cucumbers. Until you get the Holy Ghost, then when you get the Holy Ghost, you're a pickle. You look the same, but you don't act the same. Because they definitely don't taste the same. Amen? Then the Holy Spirit, none other than God himself, comes and dwells in you. And then there's something about you. The neighbors love you. The people likes you. Excuse me. Intervail. Let's get on down here to the bottom. Now, even you Pentecostal people, a lot of times just mistaken in that. You get a new spirit. That's not God's spirit. That's you. That isn't God. You get a little happy because you get a new spirit. You jump up and down. You run around over the floor maybe. Or shout a little bit. Speak with tongues. Run around a little bit and think you got the Holy Ghost. That's not it. That's a new spirit God gave you. That's you. Like what somebody said one time, you know, we talk about special meetings and we act different at special meetings. We do because they're special. The special meetings. We see people shout, speak in tongues, run around, run all over the aisles and have prayer lines and all these different things. But the preacher was making a point. He said, but you ain't going to do that every Sunday. Every Sunday, though, you come back to this meeting. And this is a meeting where the shepherd and the sheep get to know each other. And you do something wrong, that shepherd's going to smack you upside the head. He's not going to be out there and just, it's a special meeting, you know. He said, that's okay, go to special meetings because they're special. But when you come back here, he said, you expect to hear from God. He said, you don't expect to hear from all that shouting and speaking in tongues and all that running around. You need to hear from God. Amen. In the quietness of the preaching by a pastor for his sheep. That's a new spirit God give you. That's you. Then after he gives you your spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit. That's what's the matter with this missed meal cramps. And that's what we're explaining. And two, that does mean that you've missed meals. And that's what it is. You go. How many of you come to church? Remember, if you come to church, you either going to get full or you're going to have a missed meal cramp. You're going to either miss something or get something. Some of y'all look like you haven't missed many meals naturally. But I want to be fat spiritually. Amen? I don't care about no diet plan in the spiritual realm. I don't want none of this keto that I'm on now that I'm trying. Or this Weight Watchers. I don't want none of that stuff. I want to eat all I can when I'm in this building. Because these vitamins is what's important. Oh yeah, bodily exercise profiteth a little. Don't be sedentary. Get up and do something. Now notice, you put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit or you couldn't even get along with Him. Because you know what you're doing? You were alienated from God at your first birth. You were alienated. God, you were not in the... You were in, now listen, down here, now in the mind of God you were. But down here, you were alienated from God. You didn't have a clue what you were doing. The things you did, God was nowhere around. Oh yeah, He was around, but He was up here looking down at you. Or over in another dimension going, come on, come on, come on. You got to get through that one. Come on, you missed that one. You got to go back. Come on. Come on, but you're down here struggling like you wouldn't believe. But God knows what He's doing. Right. So He gives you a spirit to get along with. He takes that spirit out of you and gives you a spirit to get along with Him. Get along with yourself to begin with. Didn't we hate ourselves in the world? Come on. Just, I hated myself. I got to a place where I just hated being me. And most people that was around me did too. Praise the Lord anyhow. But what happened? God justified me. You've heard my story. I got justified and sanctified. I got cleaned up, got water baptized, felt just a freshness come over me and felt an emptiness where everything emptied out. But you know what? I didn't disappear from church. I didn't quit reading my Bible. I didn't quit studying. I didn't quit coming around you guys. I knew that was part of my journey, but not the complete journey. I had to get around some good sheep, not some black sheep or some goats that say, but. And I know you did too. You moved forward into that next realm. You've moved over into that sanctified place. And it was all new. It was all beautiful. You heard from God, but you can't stay there. You got to keep moving. You got to keep going. I've seen people, and I don't have, God knows I don't have any discernment, but you can watch people and see kind of where they're at, you know. There's people that's just like the children of Israel. They're going around Horeb, and they just continue to, you know, about every, from 40 years to every 2 years, they looked that mountain, and they looked down, and they said, well, that's my footprint. I've been here before. Right. They were on an Indian death march. That's the way we were. On an Indian death march, just around and around. But one day God said, stop. Amen. I've had enough of this. You either going to go north, you're either going to go and possess that land, or I'm going to give it to somebody else. Right. So that's what we, what? And only two people, Joshua and Caleb, said, we're more than able. Yes. Yes. But the rest of them said, no, I don't think so. I don't like these 2 hour sermons. I don't like this going to Sunday school. And, man, I have to get up. I got to be here at 9:45. I can't even get a biscuit for then. And coffee. Starbucks is not open. Oh shoot! I forgot to put gas in my car. Lord, I'm gonna be late. You would not put gas in your car if you was going to the doctor tomorrow. You'd make sure your tank was full. Amen? You got prepared for your appointment. Amen? You hear the little excuses. Well, I forgot to, and I forgot to, and I left my, and I didn't get enough, and I didn't. Starbucks messed my order up. I had to go back through drive-thru. If you drink Starbucks, you got to be, say, there's got to be still a demon in you somewhere. Anybody, I'm getting on my stool, anybody that'll drink a Starbucks coffee and pay $19.95 for a drop, 2 drops of coffee is illiterate. You know how much coffee is? It's like 5 cents a cup to make it at your house. And put you some mocha latte, blah, 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 blah in it. And squirt you some whatever that stuff on top of it is. ain't never seen them dress a coffee up like that and charge you $20. But I'm going to tell you something about Starbucks, though. Those people are blatant gays. I don't care. You can YouTube and take us off. They are blatantly gay. They stood up against Stuart Cathy at Chick-fil-A and told them they were idiots for closing on Sunday and that they didn't have nothing to do with religion. Well, you know what? I'm not supporting that. I'm not supporting that. You say, well, somebody else may be gay at Walmart. Well, I don't know it yet, but if I do, we'll find somewhere else to go. All right, I'm back off my soap opera box. I'm back down here. So he puts a new spirit in you. Then he puts his spirit in you, gives you a new spirit, a new outlook, a new faith. You take the faith that you had for the world, that you had for the economy, that you had for politics, that you had for whatever you want to put in there, and you get a new faith. But we're going to come to a spot next Sunday where the prophet of God, I've already read it to you, where it says, just faith alone won't do it. That's a strong statement for a prophet to make. That's a strong statement for anybody to make. You say, well, everything. He said, yes, everything is based on faith. Based on faith. And it is faith all the way up, but it's not just faith alone. I've got faith God's going to give me a job. Well, have you got one yet, brother? No, I've been sitting on my couch for 3 weeks, and God ain't knocked at my door one time. Faith is go to that interview and say, God, help me to say something that'll give me that job. Now, see, then God's going to work on both ends. But I've never seen God come knocking on your door and say, hey, I got a job for you. It's Starbucks. There's other places. And I know Chris Long, if he's watching, he's going to go, what? Dunkin' Donuts! He loves the boy and loves Dunkin' Donuts. But see, that's just the silly things we get into, though. I mean, you know, and I don't care. I ain't going to throw you out a message. I might throw you under the bus, but I'm going to throw you out a message for drinking Starbucks. But I just can't see that. I'm just not. I may spend $25 on a box of shells, but I ain't spending $25 on no cup of coffee. Because that box of shells, I can shoot 20 things with it. That shot of coffee, I just going to go away after two, 3 hours. My body's going to process it, and it's just going down the toilet. Let's go to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and let's see what we can do here. Seeing you have purified your souls. All right, now we're talking about soul. We're talking about your inner being. The real you. That's the real person we're talking about. The real you. What's so funny, Bella? Hey, listen. She's got a job. Abby's got a job. You know what? They went and got a job. Yeah. They went and got a job at 15 years old. Praise God. I hope some 45s try that. I can't believe these. We got a local store there. Well, it's a Dollar General. They're closing at 7 o'clock at night because they don't have any employees. And you got people walking the street. And I know some people get into bad ways. But you can find a job. You can find a job. It may not be the one you want at the moment, but at least it brings you some money in so that you don't have to beg for it. God didn't make us to be beggars. He gave us this world. He gave us this world to live on. He gave you an intelligence. It may not be that knowledge right there yet, but he gave you knowledge to do the right thing. And you need to do the right thing. You be a good employee. You be, and that's what I told my son. I said, be unfireable. How can you be unfireable? They can't do without you. If they can't do without you, they'll never fire you. Oh, you might get ill and you might kick the trash can out the door every once in a while, boy. But or turn a desk over. But you still were so important enough they didn't let you go. Right? No. Boys don't do that anymore. Brother Boyd, he's delivered from that. But there was a point in time in our journey that we knew that he was a little bit on the temperamental side. So, but you know what? God will settle you there, won't he? He'll give you a red-headed wife. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. by the word of God. God will give you something to straighten you out if you're a child of God. I promise you. What did Moses? Moses was the meekest man in the world. Zipporah was not. Okay? But you see how this, look, and I'm making a funny joke, but this is all life. It's the life that we're living. It's the true life that we're living. It's not some painted up, you know, it's not some what, Bob Ross. Nice. Trees. And we're going to draw mountains. And now we're going to draw flowers. It's not that. This is not a flowery bed of ease. This is a battle. You got to turn that brush stroke into a pistol or a sword. Something. Honestly, folks, me included, we're not fighting as much as we should. We are not fighting and using, remember, the warfare. It's not of the guns that we have. It's the word of God versus Satan. Amen? And where's God if he's in you? You're doing the fighting. He's doing the fighting through you. If the devil's in you, he's doing the fighting through you. All right? But this, now let's talk about this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God. So the only way you can get born again is what? By the word of God. Not by your mama, not by your daddy, not by listening to a good preacher. That helps. But by the word of God. Let it sink down inside of you. See, that's when I realized I had the new birth, is it was not something external. It was something internal. Because we're going to read here in a minute where the Bible even tells us that you don't need a teacher anymore. The teacher's inside of you. Now listen, I'm going to tell you like the prophet of God said. He said, that don't mean you sit at home and get all that by yourself. No, he gave us teachers in the body to what? To coincide with that teacher that's inside of you. If you don't have the teacher inside of you, there's nothing to connect to. You will not understand a word I'm saying tonight without the Holy Ghost or the quickening power that heads you toward the Holy Ghost. If you're in your journey, praise God. Realize, though, that it's a journey and you've got to this point, that you're trying to get to this point. And God, help us to find out where we are. And help us to find out how much we can get further. Because listen, in the mind of God, he had an image. And he was going to make sure that image come to pass. And what was that image? It had to start as a spiritual image first. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the what? The fish of the sea. Flesh. He didn't say anything about angels. You ever thought about that? Give him dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and every living creature that's on the face of the earth. God give this person dominion. Put him in a spiritual form first. And then he created the physical form. And he said, you are over this group right here. Then God said, okay. I got this lump of clay. And I'm going to put it on the wheel. And I'm going to work on it. As the prophet of God tells us that there stood Adam in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 2:7, he's getting ready to put that spiritual man inside of an earthen vessel. Inside of a pot. Called Adam. Adam, physical. Everybody with me? And here, as the prophet of God illustrates, it looks like Adam is standing in the Garden of Eden and his toes are like roots of a tree. Because that's where he came from. The potter takes the clay. Listen, the potter has to go down to the earth to get the clay. The clay's not in the air. The clay's on the ground. The clay's on the earth. And he picked up a special pot of clay, a thing of clay. And you know what? Clay. Threw it on the wheel. He said, all right. Breath of eternal life. That thing's now living. But I made it. It's living, but I made it. I'm the creator. I'm the one that'll make it. And then I'm going to put my life inside of that. But I'm not going to be finished with that. I want them to bring forth little pots. and more little pots. And the pots that you that they make, I'm going to give them life. And then I'm going to give them a chance or an opportunity to become eternal. Everybody with me here? Bible says right here, all flesh is as grass. It's just there. I mean, it's just there, flesh. And all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which the gospel is preached unto you. They found those Dead Sea Scrolls in caves, in pots. They were preserved for thousands of years in earthen vessels. And that's what God wanted in the beginning until that got marred by Eve, his second pot. Got marred and we had to come the way we are now. But you know what? He's a master potter. He puts the clay on the wheel. He spins the wheel. He uses water. And you know what you got to do? I've watched many times. We grew up working. There's a pottery place right across the road from us. You've seen it, Craven's Pottery. It was world famous at one time. Huge, 20-something million-dollar company. And they made tractor trailer loads of pots by the day. And you know what it all started from? If you go out there and look now, you can see still a pile of it. It's the ugliest mountain you ever see in your life because it's been rained on. It's collapsed. It's turned colors. That's what happens when you don't have God as a master potter. That master potter, though, what does he do? He takes that clay. What happened with that one? The physical part of that clay is what? It's kneaded. It's getting all the impurities out, but it comes to a tube about this big. And what happens is if you've got a 1-gallon jar or 2-gallon jar, somebody sits there and cuts them off. Well, this one is made for a specific thing. But listen to what happens. It's got to be soft so that it can be molded. Like I said before, God has to give you a new spirit so that you can get along with the potter. Because you know what? You can't say to the potter, why'd you make me this way? Remember the Bible? You got to be molded, and you're going to be. Listen, we're all molded in his image. Adolf Hitler was molded in his image. But there was something put down inside of Adolf Hitler called a soul to make a choice. And he made a horrible choice. But God just continued to let that vessel go. And it'll get its reward. But there's special pots. There's special clay. The kind that he has to go and get and pick up and put on the wheel. And then spin the wheel. And let me tell you something. I've been and worked for a year or two over there at Craven's Pottery. And it's the messiest place you'll ever see. But it starts out a real nice, pretty clean piece of clay. But he puts it on that wheel, and most of them, when you put it on the wheel, you got to smack it down on the wheel because you don't want it to move. You want it to be perfectly straight where you, when the hands go like this, it's not wobbling, or your pot's going to look like this. But you put it in there, and guess what's the first thing they do? They take water. There's always water right here. There's always water. And he takes the water, he splashes it on the clay, and it becomes wet. And those beautiful hands that was making that pot has now become as dirty as the pot. God had to come down here. He had to come down here and get dirty with us. Because God made a body on a wheel one time. It's called Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and he came here as a baby. But he had to get his hands dirty. And every time he deals with me and you, you know what he does? He gets his hands dirty. And them old dirty hands, old my cousin and Joe Craven and all them, they'd have mud all the way to here, and they would actually wear an apron because it just slings everywhere. So whatever came out of the clean part is not clean anymore. But what's he doing? He has got something in his mind that he's going to make. Whether it be a 1-pound jar, strawberry jar, whatever it is. And all the things on the outside, all the markings that he's going to mark on the outside. But you know what he's got to do? When he turns that wheel, his hands get dirty. But what's the first thing he does? To make a pot, you got to put your hand down in it. First thing he does is he takes his hand and he pushes. puts a little pressure on the pot. Everybody with me? He puts a little pressure on the pot. And what's the first thing he does? He reaches and gets it like this, and he starts up the wall. And if it is an impurity, guess what? He stops. He doesn't go get another piece of clay. He uses that piece of clay. He smashes it back down. With the trials and tribulations that we have, remember, if we don't pass the test, what do? We take it again. So he mashes it back down because, remember, it's still pliable. It's water. It's still something that God can work with. It's still something that he can use. He's still got it in his mind what he's going to use. They had to have in their mind a strawberry jar, a one-pound jar, or a jar with a handle, a jar without a handle. That's the master potter. He knew. And he knew how high to make it because he had a what? He had a guide. He had a comforter. He had a guide. And they did. It was a stick, and you turned the thing, and you moved it down, and it had a little pin sticking out. And that's how high you made that certain pot. And you'd make that pot up to that side and make a lip to it, and it would be perfect. Just what you needed. But God had, the potter had to first do is stick his hand down in that pot and get it clean. He had to get it clean, and then here he goes. Still forming to the lip, and it's still spinning the whole time. We think our life is spinning out of control. Let's try to think that's God molding us. If it's spinning, that's all right. Let it spin. Listen, if you're of God's, it will not go off that wheel. It'll stay there. Because when they get ready to put that pot somewhere else, they have to literally take a fishing line, pull it as tight as they can, and they do this right here underneath it to cut it off of that wheel. When God's finished with you, he'll cut the wheel. He'll know what to do, and he'll put your pot over there to use. Everybody with me? But we have to go what? We have to go through a process. We have to go through a drying process. The unclean spirit's gone out. God's justified us by using that piece of clay. He's sanctifying us because he's what? He's cleaning us up, getting us ready to put it in service. Because that jar's got to be at a certain moisture content before he puts it in the fire. If it's too low, it won't kill. If it's too high, it'll blow up. But what's the next thing God does? He takes fire. The potter. Sorry. The potter knows there's an oven right over there. And that's what I used to do. I used to fill it full. But now remember, when you did that, when you got a new spirit, you had to be careful because you could still bust the pot. Everybody with me? Is this all right? On Wednesday night, okay, it's still pliable, but it's drying. The unclean spirit's gone out. It's being moved to a new area. It's being moved closer to the fire. But now once that pot is taken and put in that kiln, K-I-L-N, kiln, it's heated to like 1,500 degrees. You stack them here and you stack them. Oh, we used to stack that thing completely full. Then we would put fire bricks on the outside and chink it up with clay to keep the fire from coming out. But when we got finished, what did we have? A vessel of honor. Because Jesus didn't throw that part of the clay away. He put it in a kiln. He baptized it with the Holy Ghost and fire. And now, guess what? You're not pliable anymore. You're a hardened Christian. Now, you got a soft heart. But they'll never be able to make that cucumber, that pickle a cucumber again. You'll never be able to make that pot. When you drive by there and you look, you drive by Craven's Party, you look, you see all those pots, they turn red. Somebody say amen. They turn red when they get through the fire. Because when you put them in there, they're flesh colored. Everybody with me? But when you put them in that kiln, they turn an orange red. So you know they're finished. Because when you look out in that parking lot, you can see that that's a finished product. And you can see that it's what? Getting ready to be bought with a price. and then to be put in use. Not going to sit out there all the time. Somebody's going to use that. That's the same way with us being predestinated. Look, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you believed, after you were molded, after you had the water, after you had God cut you off of the wheel and put you over in a place closer to the fire to get you what? To get you ready to receive Him. Right. Everybody with me? Amen. Which is the earnest of your inheritance. When I put that pot in there, that was an earnest. That pot didn't get put in use inside that kiln. You can barely, listen, I think my tennis shoes, I think I wore 20 pair that summer. You walk in there and they just melt. So we had to wait. We had to have those fire gloves. But when we brought them things out and put them out and let them cool, let the coolness of the Holy Spirit blow over that vessel. He's going to say, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. I've turned red now. By the washing of the water of the word, I've turned red in your blood. I'm accepting you, Lord. And now, whatever you got for me, I may be shipped to XYZ, but I'm going to be used. I can't be used as a lump. I've got to be put on the potter's wheel. And God, you got to get your hands dirty with me. That's what he did. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto what? The redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I want that pot right there. That's a good looking pot. That pot's been through the fire. That pot's been through the potter's wheel. And I know there's a potter behind that got his hands dirty. I know there's a potter that slaved, that probably spent hours making that whole pallet of vessels of honor. I am today. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't throw the clay away? Amen. I am so glad. Yes. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world... Look, the world cannot receive this Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the world general. I was thinking about it yesterday. You know, you can quote Charles Stanley... You can quote Jensen Franklin, which is right up here. You can quote Jim Baker. Everything he done, they still put him up on a pedestal. You can quote Jim Baker. God forbid, Tammy Baker. But you can quote all these people. John Hagee. John Hagee's a good man. John McCarthy. He's a good man. He's a nominal preacher, good guy. And whatever that one in Texas is, I can't remember his name, the big guy. But anyway, these are guys that they quote like, Max Lucado, and all the different ones, Alistair Begg, you hear those quotes and you hear them quoting things all the time. But you say William Branham said, what do you mean? Y'all still read his messages 60 years and quote his message after he's already been dead? I say, yeah, you do the same thing. Billy Graham's been gone almost that long. Oral Roberts has gone almost that long. And you're still quoting him. The problem is, it's just like that quote I read you. We want a prophet, but we're going to kill him and put him in a tomb because we don't like what he said. Because he came a different way. He was a different looking pot. God made that pot. Now listen, God made these brothers too. I'm not saying anything against them. But why we get ostracized? Because we can quote William Branham. We can quote a preacher from the past. And everybody else quote a preacher from the past. And it's okay. It's the spirit behind it. He was different. He brought us the truth of water baptism. The truth of no eternal hell. The truth of all these different things. The true way to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He brought those things to me and you. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Behold, I'm going to put that pot, I'm the potter. I'm going to put that special clay on there. And instead of just molding him, I'm going to make a whole truckload of them. Little messiahs. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world can't receive truth. Hey, listen. The best read magazines are those that says that there's an alien came down and had a baby with a woman and they had kittens. Jonathan, don't look at me like that. You've been standing in line at them counters and looked at the National Enquirer. And you're looking at it, but the whole world says, oh, that's got to be the truth. And you tell them the Word of God, and they go, no, don't give me any of that. Why? They don't have the right spirit. They haven't been through justification and sanctification like you should go through. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wants to put you and me into a... Listen, we're not above the world. We are not special people, only that God made us special people. You and I are all come from the same place. But by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, though, that makes you different. By making a choice, that makes you different. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while in the world will see me no more, but you'll see me. How many of you have ever seen Jesus in the flesh? Come on, folks, I'm looking at him. And the Word was made flesh. Your flesh. Your vessel. Your pot of clay that you think, man, this thing is just awful. I'm all bent all over and I can't hold much water, but you're a vessel of honor. Because God's the one that made you. Now we got to give something back to the potter. Yet a little while in the world seeth me more, but you'll see me, because what I live, you shall live also. At that day, the prophet of God said, this day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's why there's not two or three gods running around. And even with us involved, it's not two or three gods running around. It's one God. Amen. One God inside of me and you. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How many times have you been sitting and thinking on God or have an issue that you're working through, and you come in here and you sit down and you swear that the preacher was with you the whole week? That wasn't you. That wasn't the preacher. That was the Holy Ghost, the one, the Spirit of truth that was with you. He said he wouldn't abide with you, he'd abide in you. So what you look at, he looks at. Oh, come on now, hold on a minute, Brother Wade. Yeah. What he looks at, we look at. What you say, we better be careful. Let's read this real quick and then we'll close. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. Now this, it's coming to abide on Jesus. Now we know that Jesus was the Word. We know that Jesus didn't need the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. The Spirit inside of him was the Holy Ghost. He didn't walk, as many have said, he didn't walk 30 years as a mortal man. Yes, he did walk 30 years as a mortal man, but he was God. He was different than me and you. He was not born in sin. He didn't have a carnal mind. His spirit wasn't all messed up. Sure, the devil tried to get to him many times, but he never defeated him. But now, John, you're a prophet. This is John the Baptist. Now, John, you're a prophet. Maybe he's sitting on a rock one day and he's got his head down, and thank God he's dipping them locusts in that pure honey. Man, that'll make anything taste good. Being a beekeeper, I should know that. But he's dipping that locust in wild honey, and he's eating it, and he's fixing up his camel hair, and he's getting ready to go out, and God speaks to him and says, hey, I know you're a prophet. I know you can see spirits. You can see things ascending and descending, because watch, remember, he's standing in the water, and he's looking. He sees two or three men walk by, which are from the temple. He says, hey, you generation of vipers. Axe is going to be laid to the root of your tree. You don't even have the right kind of father. What are you doing? What was that? Discernment. He saw the Spirit of God would descend on Caiaphas. Caiaphas would go behind the curtain, and he would offer the blood for the year and come back out and say all is well. And inside of him, he's black as black can be. Because he put Jesus on a cross. So John, bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, who? Jesus. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remain. Different kind of guy. He wasn't an anointed one. Because an anointed one, you can have the Spirit of God on your flesh and on your spirit every day of your life, and you can die, go to hell, be just as black inside as you ever have been. That's exactly the way Caiaphas was. But God specifically told John, said, look, I know you're watching in the spirit realm, but when you see that Spirit come down and go on somebody and stay there with him and remain, that dove just didn't light on his shoulder. It disappeared. Because it went inside of him. And remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost, or baptismo, changed the cucumber into the pickle. John 7, verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Sometimes we don't quote that scripture. The Holy Ghost was not given. The woman at the well didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Mary didn't get the new birth until the upper room. And neither did Elizabeth. Neither did John. They got the Holy Ghost. They got an anointing. Because the Holy Ghost had not been released yet. There stood Jesus with the Holy Ghost. He said, I can't give it to you now, but I'm going to go away and then I'll come back. And when I come back, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not just going to come inside of you. I'm going to remain and I'm going to burn out everything. All the impurities. Not one speck of you is going to be wet. I'm going to dry you out. But I'm going to put inside of you something that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Your belly. I just read you that we're joint heirs with God. If out of his belly flowed rivers of living water, same way with us. What are we doing now? We are preaching the word of God. We're receiving the word of God. And what is it? It's a river that's flowing out. There's a river of life flowing out from me. What? Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors. Set the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Amen? Let's read this right here. But you shall receive power. That word power is dunamis, like dynamite. You've heard, brother, God bless his soul, brother Ernie Villanueva has gone on to be with the Lord. But every time he preached, he would use that word dunamis. Because listen, there with the Holy Ghost, everywhere you see the Holy Ghost, it says power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. You're powerless without him. Brother Brown said, cold, formal, and powerless is this church that don't have the Holy Ghost. Cold, formal, and powerless are you if you don't have the Holy Ghost. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall sit down and close the door and not go anywhere and just keep it all to yourself. No, it says, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, Lula, Georgia. Amen. Dunamis, power, mighty work, strength, miracles, virtue, strength, power, ability, inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Power for performing miracles. Moral power and excellence of your soul. Amen. That don't sound like there's a devil anywhere in that. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may what? Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to add to it, also to admonish one another. 1 Corinthians, we'll stop right here. Musicians, get ready. Come on. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Amen. We need to get rid of the spirit of the world. But the spirit which is what? Of God. Vessels of honor. That we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God. If you're not getting something from God, you got a problem. I got a problem. Because it's not God's problem. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Tonight, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't understand half of what I'm saying. I am sorry. But please say, God, I want to understand. I want to know what this is. I want to know about this person I've never met before. Meet him, folks. He's right here where you can meet him. The Holy Ghost is not way out yonder. It's right here nigh thee. Which things also we speak not in the words of man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost what teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. There it is. For they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known in the mind of the Lord, known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. Musicians, come. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the next phase. It's going to be a power. The power's here. Listen, the power's laying here. We just got to pick it up and use it. We just got to pick it up and use it. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we are among you for your sake. And look, and you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have affliction, but you're going to have joy. Titus talks about the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Last one. For it's impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, look, partakers, it came on them. They used it, but it didn't reside. It had to leave because of something. You turned it down. Remember, the prophet of God tells us that, what was it, Augustine of Hippo, that the Holy Ghost tried to come on him and he rejected it. Let's don't be word rejectors. We know where they go. They go to hell. There's only a heaven and a hell. And listen, folks, I'll promise you, hell has not been done away with. Let's stand to our feet. There's going to be a judgment. You're going to give judgment. You're going to have judgment. You're going to be in judgment if you're not in Christ. You will go to that judgment bar, and I'll promise you, your knees will be shaking. Because it's your life. But remember, if you'll turn it over to God here, if you'll turn it over to God here, you won't have to turn it over to him there. He'll say, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. They've got my spirit. I've already been judged. You can't judge me again. I've already been judged. That's why, thank God, we don't have to go through tribulation. We don't have to even stand at the judgment bar. Doesn't matter how much this smutty clay looks. God still puts his hand down in there and gets dirty with us. Now, you know God don't get dirty, but you know what he does? He gets down here close to us. He helps you in all your needs, don't he? He don't step back and go, no, I don't think I'm going to, I think I'll go over here in eternity. And I thought he's in this realm now. I thought he was here as an ever-present help in a time of trouble. He's right here. He's nigh thee. Even in your heart. The word of what? Faith that we preach. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
Create in me a clean heart.
Oh, let's worship him for just a minute now.
And renew our
eyes. Let's get the benefits of this. I see parts that maybe need to be filled. Parts that need to be put in order. What these are for, and whatever they are, Lord, wherever they go, Lord, I pray that whatever our brother's asking, that it'll come to pass. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Here's our plea right here.
Restore unto me.
Our brother knows what it's for. Lord, I pray by the power of Almighty God that when this cloth is laid on our sister, that everything will come out just fine. And we'll glorify your name, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Created me.
He's a creator. He'll do it for you if you'll let him. But you got to open that vessel up. A vessel of honor.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Oh, what a master potter. He came down here and became one of us.
Test me not away.
He was tempted by the devil, yet without sin. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew they were going to kill him.
Me.
Yes, ma'am.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me.
Not just rehabbed, but renewed and restored. Father, I pray that she'll meet you in that place, Lord. Not have to worry about what man has, but you'll meet her there, Lord. Maybe in the quietness of a night, Lord, maybe sitting in a corner, maybe thinking about you, Lord, you'll come and you'll anoint our sister, Lord, and fill her with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, she won't have to have these problems anymore. We pray now, Lord, as she continues, Lord, what she's doing, Father. She took water baptism in your name, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, that she'll continue on in her walk. And that it'll be for your honor and glory, Lord. And we'll see a vessel of honor. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen. Okay? All right.
Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore. And renew a right spirit within me. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry.
You believe this? He is
passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord,
because he's near
as he goes by.
Say to him,
reach out and touch the Lord.
Whatever you need, reach out and touch it. That was a woman that was, however how many years, she had a blood issue. She couldn't go into the sanctuary because she was unclean. She had to sit on a special pillow. She had a blood issue all those years. And we think we have problems. But she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. That's faith. She had to crawl through all those men to reach and grab that. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord. If you leave this building sick, it's your fault. He passes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart cry. He is passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. One more time. Reach out. Really believe it. He's here tonight to give you every need that you have. It won't make him any weaker. Because he's got power. He's got power that he wants to give you. The word of God that we heard tonight, it's got power behind it. If you'll let it, open up and let God in. Reach out and touch the Lord as he, one more time, goes by. Reach out. Get what you come to get tonight. As he passes by, you will find he's not too busy. He come to speak to you tonight. Come right down into your house. And he wants to clean it out. If you'll let him. Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. As he goes by. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know there's somebody in this building that needs you. Because you keep pulling. You keep wanting to sing another song. And not rush out of the place so we can go downstairs and talk about cars and what we're going to do tomorrow. And,
come on.
But talk about you, Lord.
Hold on.
Lord, come by our way today. Lord, fill somebody with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, heal somebody of their body, the pain. Lord, I know we all go through things of life. Lord, I pray that you'll make a mountain a plain. And you'll make those dry valleys full of ditches with water in them. Lord, you're the ever-present help. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're everything we need. And Lord, I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus, all these ones that's been baptized. And all these ones that's been a witness of the baptism. Lord, that you'll refill us all with the Holy Ghost. That you'll give us, Lord, power to withstand the wiles of the devil. To withstand what this world has coming. And Lord, to live good Christian lives, Father. Forgive me of my sins and my faults, Lord, that I have against, Lord, the world and against you. Father, I pray that you'd make us more meek, Father. Make us to where we're a vessel of honor. That you're not ashamed, as the prophet of God said, when we get into adoption. That the Holy Ghost is ashamed to go to the Father and say, oh, your child is doing this and doing that and he's misbehaving. Lord, I want a report card with all A's. Where God, the Holy Ghost checks every one of them off. He did this right. He did that right. He prays right. He studies right. He comes to church. He reads his Bible. He prays for others. He does things for people. Lord, that's the vessel you want to use. And Father, tonight I pray that as we were talking about the potter, Lord, that if we've got some kind of kink or we've got some kind of something, Lord, that we're not exactly right, Lord, don't throw the clay away. Just remold us. Give us a refilling of the Holy Ghost. But Lord, once you put us through that fire, Lord, we're as unchangeable as you are in our soul. Hallelujah. Lord, for that, just for that, for us to realize that we're part of you. We're part of the eternal. And Lord, we're living down here in a world that's full of sin and debauchery and people killing each other. Lord, this world is not my home. We're just passing through. But Lord, we are pilgrims that have to pass through this land. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost will this week protect each and every one of us, Lord. That will be with us, Lord, and take care of us, Lord, and the things that we need, the things that we're doing, Father. We ask your blessings on all these people that are here today, Lord, your chosen vessels. And Lord, that we'll go out of this building full, and we'll just run over as the 120 in the upper room staggered out of the room, just like they was drunk on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord, we want you to come near, Lord, and heal us, revive us, give us a refilling. Bless our pastor. Give him strength, Lord. His wife too, Lord, they're both one. Give them strength to handle what's going on, Lord. And may we see him back here again. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll be with everyone that's in this building and the ones that are watching in. That you'll give us a special blessing tomorrow, Lord. We've all come through dark valleys. We've all come through dark places. But even with a cloud, if we can get up ahead above the cloud, Lord, I saw that when we come through the airplane one time. We come through the stormiest weather. We took off and it was pouring down rain, lightning, thundering. But when we broke above that cloud, it was nothing but sunshine. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us sunshine for this week, Lord. Be with us until we come back together on Sunday. Bless us, Lord, and take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
To hear your heart's cry, he is passing by this moment, your need.